What the heck is an ex-nurse anyway? On this week's episode of Insights in Nursing. Welcome back to Insights in Nursing. I'm Jamie Davis, the pod medic, and your primary host here at insightsinnursing.com. We'll be kicking off the second half of last week's episode, where we were discussing some nurse topics with Kim McAllister from the Emergia blog and Terry Pollock from Nurse Ratchet's Place. We'll jump into the remaining portion of that segment in just a second, but I wanted to remind you, you can find more episodes, other articles, and content over at insightsinnursing.com. You can leave a comment on any of our episodes there, find links to all of the news items we discuss in each episode, and also have a link to go ahead and subscribe to new episodes as they become available. So go ahead and check it out over at insightsinnursing.com. So without further ado, let's jump back on in to the second portion of the pre-recorded episode that we started with last week. This is Kim McAllister from the Emergia blog and Terry Pollock from Nurse Ratchet's Place, along with myself, Jamie Davis, the pod medic from The Nursing Show. And let's see what else we have to discuss. Talking about advancement in nursing, I found an article from Akron Children's Hospital in Ohio that they have appointed a former nurse in that facility as their chief operating officer for the hospital.
Why is she a former nurse?
Well, and that's what I was trying to figure out. Apparently, she used to work there and had been the chief nursing officer, I guess because her license. I can't imagine her license lapsed, but I don't know. Maybe Ohio has a different, if they're not clinical RNs anymore, they can't be a nurse. But
well, it cracks me up. It says appoints ex-nurse, S-C-O-O. Well, okay. So she's an ex-nurse. You know, it's kind of like it's not appoints nurse, S-C-O-O. I mean, I could be an executive and still keep my license in the inactive state and still be able to call myself a registered nurse.
Right.
Indeed. Indeed.
So why did she, and I always get concerned about why, I mean, I'm just reading the article. Why would she drop the title?
I don't know. And then I had that same question because when I read the article, it was like, well, she's not an ex-nurse. She's been the chief nursing officer for the hospital for the last 7 or 8 years.
Right.
So she's still a nurse in my book. I mean, I would not say she wasn't a nurse to her face.
Well, no one's going to appoint a COO who's a physician and say he's an ex-physician.
Right, right.
Okay, so now my dander's up about.
Yeah, it's sort of like here's the crux of the story. We have this nurse who now left the profession and has elevated herself to something better. What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
And how much you want to bet that the person involved here, it doesn't think that at all. This is just the way it's written in the article. She's a nurse executive. Is what she is. She's an executive who is a registered nurse, and she's been the chief nursing officer. So I assume a CNO is an RN, one would hope. Yeah, that's just...
I found it interesting, and I just thought I'd throw that out there because while the headline seems somewhat offensive, if you look at it that way, it still, I think, is an advance to have a nurse in that role. I think it's actually probably better, I think, to have a nurse as the chief operating officer than a physician because they certainly have a better handle on what goes on in the hospital across the entire patient care continuum than most specialist physicians do. And I would suspect that that's who ends up in that job otherwise.
Yeah, but perception is everything. And it's very nice if she's a registered nurse, and that's great. It would be nice if the publicity, focused on that instead of calling her an ex-nurse. That's just getting my dander up.
Well, no, and I agree with you. Like I said, when I initially read that title, the headline, I was kind of bothered by it, but I went on and read the article and thought it was a positive article for one reason, but you're absolutely right. It seems to me that it was either poorly written headline or they, you're right, they just didn't even think that anyone would be bothered by it.
And if you look at it, They mention her in the second paragraph. Then they mention who she's taking over from. The rest of the article is about the guy who's leaving the role. She's not mentioned again in the entire article. She started her career with Akron's Children's, has been chief nursing officer since 2003, will take over the COO role from Mark Watson. Then we go on to learn all about Mark Watson and that he's going to oversee physician recruitment, blah, blah, blah. And we don't know anything about Grace Wakulchik's background other than she was chief nursing officer. All we know is she started with the hospital in 1992. We don't know where she went to school. We don't know what degree she has. We don't know anything about her, but we know all about the man who is leaving the position. Who wrote that?
Jamie.
Yes.
Now you see what you went and did.
No,
you
this
made
is a,
Kim upset.
I'm as the only man on this podcast right now, and as a male, a minority nurse, I will just lay back and let you have any opinions you wish to have.
Well, there's
That's
a blog post
very wise.
Right there. There's a blog post right there.
Uh-oh.
I was looking for some inspiration because I've been kind of non-inspired lately. That did it.
Happy to inspire.
It's just an example of, you know, this ex-nurse. She's an ex-nurse, and here's her name. And now let's talk about the guy who's not in the position anymore. Okay, I'm just going to write Akron. This is the Med City News. I'm going to write them. That's just ridiculous. That's poor reporting.
Well, and I'd like to know about what she brings to the table, because I think as a nurse, she has a lot to bring to the table.
She could have a doctorate degree in nursing. She could have a master's degree in nursing. She could have an MBA for all we know. But we don't know any of that. We know all about the guy who no longer has the job.
If you click the link where her name is, it actually brings up her LinkedIn information.
Okay.
So if you want to contact her directly, maybe I need to interview her and
President of the Ohio Organization of Nurse Executives.
Yeah, she's a slacker.
Case Western Reserve University, BSN, MSN. Now, that should have been, all of that should have been in that article. All of it. Okay, where is it? Where'd you go?
Well, you're getting no argument from me, but I guess I always want to be able to inspire, and I can't wait to read this blog post.
Oh, you inspired.
It's what I'm here for.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, and it's hard for me as a guy to even understand a lot of this. I mean, it was very alien to me to basically be told when I applied to nursing school that, hey, you know, if you're a guy and you're breathing and you want to go to nursing school in this facility, as long as you have your prerequisites, we'll let you try. Now, my grades were excellent. I mean, I would have gotten in if I had been a woman, but I know, you know, they let guys in with much lower standards than they had for the ladies in the group because they were considered minorities. And it's, do you see that change as more men enter the profession? Are you seeing a change in how they're treated versus other nurses?
On the job, I don't know what nursing schools are like in terms of if they're, but it seems to me the competition is there, whether you're male, female. I haven't heard of anybody or any of the male nursing students that I've seen or worked with saying there was any difference. I'm not noticing it. I don't see a difference personally in my work life between male and female nurses. I think we bring different things to the table, but I don't see a difference in how they're treated or respected or not respected, as the case may be. I'm not seeing a difference. How long have you been a nurse?
I guess 3 years, 3.5 years now.
Really? Okay, so that was...
Oh, he's a little cub.
I told you, I was a paramedic for a while before that, but when I went to nursing school, I became a nurse journalist right out of nursing school, talking about doing something different with your nursing degree. My podcasting had kind of taken off while I was in nursing school, and I had the ability to jump in and really act as a health journalist and nurse journalist. So that's kind of the direction I moved into. But I know now that the standards for the classes along the way were still very high. And you know, if you didn't achieve the minimum, we lost the people that didn't really meet the standards to begin with, I think, along the way. They didn't last very long because the classes were still very stringent. But I still think that at least in my experience, there is a lower bar because they're trying to maintain that diversity. And it's the only time in my life as a 40-something white male that I'm ever going to be considered a minority in anything.
Yeah, definitely in nursing still, unfortunately. I think as the benefits get better, the pay gets better, I think more men are looking at nursing. But a lot of the guys I see going into nursing are EMTs or paramedics, now that you mention it.
Out of the five that I graduated with, three of us were EMTs or paramedics.
Yeah, yeah.
I talk to them, and every time I talk to a paramedic who's looking at nursing school or is in nursing school or used to be a paramedic and is now a nurse, they all say the same thing. You know, it just working on a patient in a ditch at 2 a.m. in the rain just got old after a while.
Yeah. Oh,
it's much nicer to have them in a well-lit room where everything's dry. And
oh, please. There was no way on earth that I could be a paramedic. If you're going to put the jobs next to each other, mine is not a bit stressful compared to a paramedic's job. Not a chance. By the time I get him, you guys have cleaned him up, put in an IV, given him a treatment, done basically all the stabilization work, and all I have to do is get the report and keep it up. So, yeah, no way could I ever be a medic. That's a very underpaid profession, by the way.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Going out 2 o'clock in the morning in the pouring rain or in a snowstorm, prying people out of cars' jaws of death. I mean, what kind of tool is that? That sounds scary, you know. And,
well, that's because it's actually the jaws of life. So the jaws of death are scary.
Well, whatever. And getting that, you know, it's just an incredibly rewarding and scary thing at the same time. And anyone who can do that kind of work is incredible. Plus, I don't know what you get paid in your part of the country, but I know here in Maryland, it's either volunteer or very minimal pay.
Yeah, it's not that great here in California either, from what I understand.
No, and it's a shame. Most EMTs and paramedics that I know are working two jobs, two full-time jobs or a full-time and a big half-time job just to make ends meet. And I know several that have, you know, left the healthcare services because they got a job working on the telephone, you know, as a telephone lineman for three times than what they were getting paid as a paramedic, and they don't have to work nights and weekends.
Right.
So it's, you know, but this is a nursing program. So let's, you know, I agree with you. You will get no argument from me. And if you want to hear more about EMS and paramedics, you can check out the Medic Cast and you can hear me talk about those issues over there. But I think you're right. And I think a lot of the men that are moving in and a lot of the male nurses that I've met were former paramedics and moved into nursing as just an advancement in their career because they wanted to learn more and they wanted to move forward. And, so it's interesting to see that, but yeah, we'll have to, I'm looking forward to the blog post on the Akron Children's Hospital nurse situation.
Yeah. I see the writer's name and picture is right here too. I think I'll shoot him an email. I mean, I'm sure he had a character limit and all this kind of stuff, but I don't understand why you introduce one person and then spend the article talking about the person who no longer has the job the new person's taking. So, and it mentions nothing about her background. And it says chief nursing officer. That's not even on her LinkedIn profile, which is interesting. She was vice president of patient services. Nowhere does it say CNO anywhere on this LinkedIn. So that's interesting too. So anyway, that'll be interesting to to, and I'm sure this poor reporter has no idea.
You should send him a link to your blog post when you're done.
Oh, I'm going to, yeah. And just say, you know, look, it's ex-nurse, I don't know. Just, she's still a nurse as far as I can see on her LinkedIn. So maybe he thought just linking to it was enough. So anyway, she's not a former nurse as far as I can see.
No.
So, well, that was good. You got a lot of articles there.
Yeah, I put in a bunch, and we don't have to hit all of them. I just wanted to kind of see what stirred up the pot. And, hey, I stirred it, so that's good.
Yeah, you did
it, dude. Oh, my gosh. It's boiling.
Well, that's good. You know, this is one of the reasons I wanted to put this show together, was to really bring these issues out and find out from the two of you and from maybe some of our other guests as we have people on in the future, to really find out what's the hot button issues in nursing out there. What are we seeing? And so I'm hoping to have you both back and other nurse bloggers and other nurse leaders from around the country on to talk about whatever's pushing your buttons right now. And is there anything else that you guys are seeing out there that's really got you worked up lately, other than the ex-nurse in Akron?
No, that's the problem. Nothing was getting me worked up lately until now, so that's good. a blah blogger is not a good blogger.
Isn't that the truth?
So, yeah, you got to have a little fire cooking in there.
Well, I'll bring up one other topic, because it came up in a podcast I was on last week as a guest, and there was a paramedic who had a call to a location where there was no patient. It was a mistaken phone call. Someone thought they saw someone get injured, and they weren't injured. So the paramedic wrote that they had no patient in their patient care report and went back into service, and there was a whole hubbub that came up about it on what is the definition of a patient. And his service, and this is actually out your way, this is San Francisco Fire Department, Kim. they actually came up with a 3-paragraph definition of what a patient is. So I have for both of you, experienced nurses, you know a patient when you see one. What do you think is the definition of a patient?
Oh my God.
I know. Doesn't it sound ridiculous? That got me worked up. That's what I wrote all morning. I wrote that, and I've got a couple other things coming along on my blog on the MedicCast about that.
That's sort of like up there with it depends what your definition of is.
Well, I can tell you what the Mac widget says. A person receiving or registered to receive medical treatment.
What? I would say nursing treatment? Nursing care?
Not a word on the Mac widget. I'll have to write Steve Jobs. That is so bizarre. For me, a patient is anybody who presents for care or who requests my services as a nurse. I mean, my neighbor isn't a patient. And if I go over and give them a Band-Aid for a cut, does that make them my patient?
At least temporarily.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's just, I looked online and I found two different definitions that are very similar, actually. One was from Aetna Insurance. So when I did a Google search for patient definition, Aetna was one of the first things to come up, interestingly enough, an insurance company. And they called a patient a person who gets medical care. And it says the care is from a doctor, hospital, or other healthcare provider. That's in their glossary on their insurance site.
But you can get nursing care without having medical care.
I agree. But
you're still a patient. I mean, you're considered a patient.
Well, you can both check out my post from today over at mediccast.com/blog. It's on what is an EMS patient? Because I'll put it in the chat room. You guys can check it out.
Well, there is a more cryptic definition.
Which is?
Well, you brought up insurance companies. A patient to a hospital would be one who has insurance.
Ooh.
I said it was cryptic. I'm sorry. I'm just having a moment.
But, oh, you're right. That's a huge issue right now, because, of course, patients who don't have insurance are dragging the system down in some regards, and how do we deal with that issue? Are they still patients even if they can't pay for it?
Well, they don't have access to health care.
So they're not getting cared for anyway.
Yeah, how could they be a patient?
Well, they could easily be a patient, because if they walk into the emergency room,
well,
it doesn't matter.
That's true.
And you still need, even though you can't pay for the care, you still need care. So if you approach any part of the system for that care, whether you can pay for it or not, then you're a patient.
Well, when I was working the private sector and we would be getting intakes from outside hospitals to transfer to a psych bed to our hospital, the first question the psychiatrist that I worked with would ask was, do they have insurance? And if they didn't, we didn't accept them.
You know, that's true in my facility too. That seems to be the main first thing that everybody wants to know about the psych or mental health patients, is what's their insurance. And if they don't have insurance, they don't get into an inpatient rehab. Hell, they don't get into an outpatient rehab, trust me.
Well, and that stirs up the whole issue of why isn't a psych patient considered a valid problem? If they had a broken arm, they'd get treatment. But because it's a psychological issue, they don't need the help?
Exactly. Or they, for some reason in that area, you can pick and choose, I guess. I don't know. I know in the ER, it doesn't matter if you come in with a mental health crisis or if you come in with a physiological crisis. I mean, you're covered, and to the best of the ER to handle it. Of course, if there's a psych crisis going on, the ER, what the ER can do is very limited, because that's not something where I can give you a pill or give you an injection and now you're all better and bye. You know, it's a long-term thing. But yeah, it seems to be, it's always been a major deal with what is the insurance before the mental health treatment. I mean, in the ER, it becomes a placement problem, because who's going to accept the patient for the ongoing care? And it's kind of like dentists, you know, they don't have to treat you if you don't have insurance.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're set up real good. They're not required to treat anybody for anything unless they get the money up front.
Well, I just wanted to throw that patient thing out there, because it was the thing that kind of got me worked up today. And I had to go through and say, all right, now come on. I mean, it comes down to an issue if they aren't injured, if they don't need assistance, then they're just an acquaintance.
And they didn't even call. You know, if they placed the call and then decided, no, I don't need assistance, I'm okay, that was a mistake for me to call you, at least there's a name. But if they don't even make the call, don't want the help, don't need the help, then they're not the patient. That's just bizarre. Somebody had a lot of time on their hands here.
Well, and I think, interestingly enough, the story I heard from this was from the individual, the paramedic involved, was that when he did get a definition that was given to him, when he asked for it after a week or so later, he got a three-paragraph definition that was the now official definition of what is a patient. And he goes, oh, this came from the medical director? And the answer was, no, it's from our billing department.
Aha.
There you go.
So it ultimately was, were they concerned about losing the patient income from a potential patient? Because that particular service bills for what are called patient refusals, where if a patient, you know, let's say you have a diabetic patient, you come in and you manage them in the field with some D50, and they're now awake and oriented. They no longer need you to take them to the hospital. We've gotten the problem fixed, and we've got them back managing themselves. That's a patient refusal. They don't need transport, but they're still being billed for the medical services that were provided for them. And I'm wondering if other services are going to start defining patients, because they want to make sure that they aren't losing people through the cracks.
Could be.
So anyway, that's a. I just thought I'd be interested, because I've never heard anyone have to define a patient. I mean, I when they first asked me the question on the podcast a couple nights ago, I was just like, I know a patient when I see a patient. You know, they're a person who has a problem that needs me to come and take a look at them. Why do I need to know more than that? Well, listen, let's wrap up and ask Kim, where can we find you out on the internet?
I'm at www.emergyblog.com.
And you're on Twitter as well, Emergyblog.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm Emergyblog everywhere.
You're Emergyblog everywhere.
That's right.
And
except on Facebook, I am under, what am I on Facebook? I have to look. Oh, I'm my own self on Facebook. Yeah. I'm a Kim McAllister on Facebook.
Yeah, we're all slightly psychotic when we're online, yeah. Aren't we?
Just a little.
Just a
who
bit.
Who am I?
So, Terry, who Ooh. Are you?
I am Nurse Ratched's Place. .com, and my username is MotherJonesRN everywhere except Facebook, and then I'm Terry Pollitt. Again, I'm feeling a little schizophrenic, but there are a lot of me everywhere.
and I'm really...
God help you.
Everyone that listens to this is going to have to go check out your blogs, because I suspect we will have recorded this and probably taken a couple of days to get it posted. By the time you listen to this, you will be able to go over and check out their interesting and enthusiastic blog posts about some of the issues we've talked about today.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm Jamie Davis. You can find me over at nursingshow.com. You can also find my EMS show, MedicCast, at mediccast.com/blog. And you can find me under the handle PodMedic just about everywhere, PodMedic on Twitter and Facebook. So, ladies, I want to thank you very much for joining me for this initial episode of what I'm hoping to call Insights in Nursing. And we're going to look forward to having more insights from you in the future.
Great, Jamie. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting us. I had a good time. Yep.
That'll wrap up this episode 2 of Insights in Nursing. I want to remind you, you can find more over at insightsinnursing.com. Check out over there for all of the links to any of the news items discussed in this episode, as well as links to our panelists, where they can be found on the web, Twitter, Facebook, and other places as well. Also, don't forget, you can find links to subscribe for free to get this show delivered to you when new episodes are posted using iTunes, the Zune Marketplace, or your favorite RSS reader. You'll find all of that available for you over at insightsinnursing.com.